Blog Talk Radio.
National Convention. It was also a period when we had the uprising in what was then known as Czechoslovakia. We also, in May of that year, 1968, the students' uprising in France brought down the Charles de Gaulle government. He retired. Interesting year and a lot of things, and of course, Martin Luther King's assassination. We'll get into those things. Among the birthdays today, we'll just get a few of the prominent ones. It was Audrey Beardsley. Beardsley was the illustrator who was also gay, was part of that English crowd during the 19th century. Great black jazz musician known as Count Basie, but his first name was William. The younger sister of the present Queen Elizabeth I, Princess Margaret, was born, I think, in 1930, and she had a very unhappy life. The man she loved was divorced, RAF, Royal Air Force Captain Peter Townsend, and in those days, the Anglican Church in England had a lot of influence on the British monarchy about divorce. They had that big scandal with Edward VII and Wallace Wahlfield Simpson, who a lot more things are coming out about her, that she may have also been, she was involved with the Nazis and may have also engaged in espionage. Also, another English woman, one of the great singers, she did many recordings, Dame Janet Baker, is born on this day. Among the deaths today, I was in Australia when this happened. Benigno Aquino, the father of the present Philippine president, he was landing. He was told not to come back to the Philippines by Ferdinand Marcos. The implication was, or the warning was, you will not live. And as soon as he got off the plane, he was assassinated on the tarmac at Manila Airport. A lot of uprising occurred in the Philippines. In fact, Philip Bronstein, the grandnephew of Leon Trotsky Bronstein, was over there as the correspondent for the San Francisco Examiner. We'll get into Bronstein later because this is also the anniversary of the death of Leon Trotsky, a.k.a. Bronstein, who was stabbed with a pickaxe and by an assassin sent by Joseph Stalin. This happened in Mexico. Trotsky died on this day in 1940. Among the events today, we have Nat Turner in 1831. The first black slave revolt happened in Virginia, and of course he was later captured and hung. A famous black author has written a biography of Nat Turner. The American Bar Association was recently here in San Francisco. You'd be surprised, not all lawyers are obligated or are members of the American Bar Association, and lately they've been. I've covered at least two of their conventions, and they're becoming increasingly leftist and irrelevant. They just passed by voice vote. Nobody identified themselves. This business of gay panic, which is a political agenda and a psychological fraud. Nobody talks about how these young men and young males get caught up in these situations and why they try to defend themselves from being raped or murdered, which has happened in many cases. We'll get into that another day. In 1945, President Truman ended the Lend-Lease program, which was started by Franklin Roosevelt to aid the Allies in their fight against Hitler. Russia got a lot of equipment from us, but they never paid us back. Typical. In 1968, of course, on this date, the Democratic National Convention opened in Chicago. It's not known that Chicago hosted more political conventions than any other city in America. In 1972, the Republican Convention opened in Miami, and this was the last time that Nixon was nominated for re-election in this case. And in 1991, there was a communist coup that lasted 2 days in Russia during the Yeltsin administration. we just had, well, this is relevant to us, that Trotsky was assassinated on this day, or he died after he was the attempted assassination started the day before, and Trotsky lingered for one day. And these are rare audio which we have in the Carson Brazola archives. And here is Lenin's voice. You don't hear much about this, I guess, because he was a leftist.
Hey, Krasnarni, капиталисты Англии, Америки, Франции ведут войну против России. Красная армия непобедима, ибо она объединила миллионы трудовых крестьян с рабочими, которые научились теперь бороться, научились товарищеской дисциплине, не падают духом, закаляются после небольших сражений, смелее и смелее идут на врага, ставится близко полное его поражение.
Now, Trotsky's interesting because he founded the Red Army, which fought the whites, which were the Tsarists, who were trying to restore the Romanovs to power in Russia. And Trotsky was very successful at building this Red Army. Now, here's some more of some audio of him. Let's see. Let me play this one here.
Uno toma uno. It seems obvious. You will easily understand if I begin my short address to you in my very imperfect English by addressing my warm tongue to the Mexican people and to the man who leads them with its merit and courage, Trajan Cardinal. When monstrous and absurd accusations were hurled at me and my family, then my wife and myself were under the lock and key of the Norwegian government. Without being able to defend ourselves, the Mexican government opened the doors of his magnificent country and said to us, here you can freely defend your rights and your honor. Naturally, it is not a sympathy for myself, for my ideas, which have motivated President Cardinal, but a fidelity to his own ideas. All the more meritorious then in his act of democratic hospitality, the rare he states. Stalin's trial against me is built upon false confessions, extorted by modern inquisitorial methods in the interest of the ruling elite. There are no crimes in history more terrible, even intentional execution than the Moscow trials of Zinoviev Kamenev and then of Pyatakov Radek. His trials developed not from communism, not from socialism, but from Stalinism. That is, from the irresponsible despotism of the bureaucracy over the people. What is now my principal task? To reveal the truth, to show and to demonstrate that the true criminals hide under the cloak of the accuser. What will be the next step in his direction? The creation of an American, an European, and subsequently also an international commission of inquiry, composed of people who incontestably enjoy authority and public consideration. In confidence, I undertake to present to such a commission all my files, thousands of personal and open letters, in which the development of my thoughts and my action is reflected day by day, without any gaps. I have nothing to hide. Dozens of witnesses who are abroad possess invaluable facts and documents which will shed light on the Moscow framework. The work of the Commission of Inquiry must terminate in a Greek counter-trial. A counter-trial is necessary to cleanse the atmosphere of the germs of deceit, calumny, falsification, and frame-ups whose source is Stalin's police, the great P.U., which has fallen to the level of the Nazi Gestapo. Esteemed audience, you may have many varying attitudes toward my ideas and my political activity for 40 years, but an impartial inquiry will confirm that there is not a stain on my honor, both personal and political. Profoundly convinced that the right is on my side, I wholeheartedly salute the citizens of the New World.
Now, it's interesting you hear the cock crowing in the background. It's reminiscent of the Bible when St. Peter denied Jesus and the cock crowed three times. There are various divisions in the Communist Party. There are the Trotskyites, who were some view as bourgeois communists. We have quite a few of them here in California. There are the Stalinists, the hardline group that supported the Stalin tyranny. And then there are the Maoists, the Chinese communists, and the strict communists. The Maoists are opposed to the Trotskyites, the bourgeois communists. And, of course, they're under after World War II, it's very relevant. During World War II, before World War II, the communists were investigated by the FBI and the federal government. After Russia was invaded in Operation Barbarossa by Hitler, we became buddy-buddy, and Joe Stalin was suddenly Uncle Joe. And there were propaganda movies coming out of Hollywood, North Star, Gregory Peck starred in one of those. Walter Houston talking about the partisans and their fight against Nazism. After World War II, it became pretty obvious that Stalin wanted to take over as much of Europe as possible. And, of course, the Red Army occupied Eastern Germany and Poland, Czechoslovakia, and horrible things. Show trials occurred. The American Communist Party went into the political closet and came out as, quote, progressives. What they did was they assumed the mantle of people like Fiorello LaGuardia, the senators, William Jennings Bryan, the progressives in American politics and in American history. They're a bunch of hypocrites. So when you hear the term progressives today, these are not these people using that term and who have covered themselves in this mantle. These wolves, and I won't call them wolves, these political predators in sheep's clothing are not the the people who supported progressivism in the 19th century, like Hiram Johnson, Fiorello LaGuardia, those people, and they're just as totalitarian-minded as Stalin. So keep that in mind. Of course, as I said, we had the influence in the media, and these people cannot be trusted. Now, we have one more audio. I think it's a different one, but if it isn't, we'll cancel it.
Dear comrades, in France. I hope that this time my voice will reach you and that I will be permitted in this way to participate in your double celebration. Both events, the 10th anniversary of our American organization, as well as the Foundation Congress of the Fourth International, deserve the attention of the workers incomparably more than the warlike gestures of the totalitarian chiefs, the diplomatic intrigues, or the pacifist congresses. Both events will enter history as important milestones. No one has now the right to doubt that. It is necessary to remark that the birth of the American growth of Bolshevik Leninist thanks to the courageous initiative of comrades Kennan, Schachtman, and Abern didn't stand alone. It approximately coincided with the beginning of the systematic international work of the left opposition. It is true that the left opposition arose in Russia in 1923, 15 years ago. But regular work on an international scale began with the 6th Congress of the Comintern. Without a personal meeting, we reached an agreement with the American pioneers of the Fourth International, before all on the criticism of the program of the Communist International. Then, in 1928, began the collective work which after 10 years led to the elaboration of our own program recently adopted by our international conference. We have the right to say that the work in this decade was not only persistent and patient, but also honest. The Bolshevik Leninists, the international pioneers, our comrades across the world, searched the way of the revolution as genuine Marxists, not in their feelings and wishes, but in the analysis of the objective march of events. Above all, were we guided by the preoccupation not to deceive others nor ourselves. We searched seriously and honestly. And some important things were found by us. The events confirmed our analysis as well as our prognosis. Nobody can deny it.
Now that was another speech of Trotsky. His English was better, and of course, I believe it's one of the last ones he gave before the assassination in Mexico. As I said, during World War II, we became allies with Joe Stalin, and of course, a piece of music which has become infamous now was called "Hymn of Nations," and Arturo Toscanini, who was anti-fascist, I think he did the arrangement, and he put together the national anthems of Britain, France, the United States, and Russia. At the time, the national anthem, and it's become that again today, it's called the Internationale, and this is an example. This is a copy of it.
Thank you.
since been discredited, but at the time, as I said, we were allies with Uncle Joe Stalin. And, of course, after the defeat of the Nazis in May 1944, that it became apparent that what Joe Stalin's expansionist and totalitarian instincts were going to work in, against American and British interests in the world, and of course what we said was our democracy. U.S. Army Private Bradley Manning was sentenced today, I believe, to 35 years. Usually when military personnel are sentenced for spying or murder or other crimes under the Universal Code of Military Justice, which Americans still don't realize, we pay millions of dollars for JAGs and legal researchers and people who are involved in the military justice system, which is a separate system from the federal system, although they intersect. If Bradley Manning decides to appeal his conviction in the military court, he has to go through the military court system. There is a military court of appeal. Then he has the option of going into the U.S. District Court and right up to the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll see what he does. These convicted military personnel, there's one guy on death row, I don't know if he's been executed, it's a Texas case, the Loving case, where this GI, U.S. Army GI, had murdered a taxi cab driver, I believe, in Texas, and he's sitting on death row. His case went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. I do not know the current disposition. Now, also, military personnel who are convicted abroad under the statute of the status of forces agreements, these are military diplomatic U.S. State Department treaties with countries where American service personnel are stationed, and when American military personnel and even civilians can be tried by the courts in those countries. Most of the worst ones are in Japan. If they give you a 16-year sentence, which they recently gave to two U.S. sailors who raped a Japanese woman, I forgot their names, we'll get into another day, they serve the full term. And it's one of the strictest prison systems in the world outside of the Soviet Union, or what is Russia, and China and places like that. Now, also, the U.S. Navy sailor in the Walker family, John Walker's son, also did the similar things that Bradley Manning did. Now, he was sentenced to, I think he was taken off the U.S. Enterprise. We had a picture of him somewhere. Anyway, he served, I believe, 8 years, and he is now out. I don't know what he's doing now, but they also are dishonorably discharged, and he loses all of their federal military pay and benefits. Now, it was a case of Sergeant Lone Tree, a Native American who was a sergeant in the Marines and also the Embassy Guard Corps. He was stationed in Moscow, and he got involved with a Russian KGB agent, a woman, a heterosexual affair. She talked him into giving her access, or giving KGB access to the American Embassy in Moscow, and he was caught and sentenced to a federal prison. He is out now, and of course he's in disgrace, although they said he was railroaded, but doesn't look like that. Along that line of this type of homosexual and sexual treachery, we have what's happened in San Francisco is that the three alternative papers, two of them rather, the supposed Bay Guardian and the San Francisco Weekly, have now merged with the San Francisco, the latest incarnation of the San Francisco Examiner, which was sold by the Fangs and by Hearst to the to this gay outfit guy came from Canada, and he put all three papers together, the male prostitution paper, Bay Reporter. The Bay Guardian, 20 years ago, sued the San Francisco Chronicle, which was then a DeYoung paper. These were founded by two Dutch guys of Jewish heritage. I don't know if they practiced, the DeYoungs, recall. Anyway, the Guardian sued Brugman, I believe was Jewish from Iowa, sued the Chronicle, and they settled out of court for $750,000. That money went to buy this building out there in Petrel Hill, and now it's been sold. The Bay Guardian has become part of this gay homosexual newspaper trio. But now they are suing the Chronicle again, and we don't know where that case is going to go. But it's really interesting. When the Guardian had also sued the Weekly, claiming that they were engaged in restraint of trade, giving illegal discounts to advertisers to undercut the Bay Guardian's advertising fees. So it just shows you it's all about money and there's no principle, although the only principle is PLE, not PAL, or PAL, not PLE. So we'll see where that one goes. But, and of course, the papers, nobody gives a damn anymore because a lot of their reporters have no experience or little experience. They have agenda, but little or no ability. They have no real life experience. As Eric Hopper used to say, they never got dirt under their fingernails. So these are some of the things that go on. So we'll see where that goes. Now, we'll see. We will be talking later about our reminiscing in 1968 at the Democratic National Convention, which I did shoot a 16-millimeter film called Guns and Gas versus Chance and Flowers. Unfortunately, most of that film was destroyed in processing by the processor. I never got it back. But we do have some audio clips from that time, and I'll reminisce because that was the first national convention that I covered. I was a student at the time. So we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We are working on this business of personal license plates that are given to legislators and their families and retired legislators. California, this is an update. California rescinded the free cars to legislators, but what had happened was a couple of those legislators that we know about had cars, and what they did was they had all the repairs done, and then one guy used the political campaign money to buy his vehicle back from the state of California. There's a question of corruption there, so we don't know the disposition of that case. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We have a California legislator driving a car with the plate A24. It's on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. We also have some information on the other plates, which you might see on these vehicles. And the question is, why are retired legislators getting preferential plates when they don't do anything? And why are these plates also extended to the families of these legislators and presumably the boyfriends or girlfriends, whatever? We'll end with our theme, Politics and Poker. We'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play,
not to bet,
where's the call of love?
poker? Which is more important?
Paratrades.
Yep, a lot of parrot trades. Okay, we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas, and we'll be updating. We've got about 220 videos up there right now in our video e-magazine format. Good night. Stay safe.